Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
Welcome to the Three Martini Lunch. I am Brett Winterbull, in for Greg Corumbus, joined, as we always are, by Jim Garrity from National Review. Hey, Jim, how are you?
Good to be here, Brett.
I'll tell you, I'm excited about these martinis we're looking at. There's some big stuff coming down the line here. Let's start right away with what looks to be a very good one. Shinseki maybe getting his exit visas in order. What's going on?
Yeah, it's worth noting to listeners, the good martini is not always the unpredictable martini. Sometimes it's much expected and perhaps even an overdue martini. The Veterans Administration Inspector General report came out yesterday. Really devastating, awful news indicating that 1,700 were waiting for like 115 days for their first appointment. Seems like another 1,700 just never got put into the system at all when they were waiting for looking for treatment. So kind of the news out this morning, Chuck Todd of MSNBC is reporting it, but a lot of other folks are basically kind of concurring that basically the dam is broken. The questions become, when does Shinseki resign and who replaces him? Meaning that basically it's, you know, the headline is, it's now a question of when, not if, Shinseki will resign. But he mentions Ray Odierno, Bob Gates, and Stanley McChrystal as possible successors. It says the administration is looking for someone who has experience moving and managing a bureaucracy. Brett, that seems like a kind of a basic skill you'd want to have, right? I mean, that, you know, you'd kind of like to think every cabinet secretary would have that. It's really kind of more of a prerequisite for the job. But nonetheless, you know, people kind of said, well, does firing Shinseki really get anything done? And no, obviously, look, it's the same organization the day after he leaves as the day before. But I do think you need a sense of accountability. And Shinseki's been saying how much he cares about the veterans, but he had no idea any of this stuff was going on. And, you know, they're now saying, according to that IG report, they're now up to like, you know, 40 some, you know, places that are under this. So this is, they're saying this is a systemic problem. This is not a few bad apples. This is not a, you know, oh, you know, one or two doctors was acting badly. Apparently it's fairly widespread, this use of basically falsifying your records to indicate that you're seeing more patients than you were. So in light of all that, I think somebody needs to be punished for this. Somebody needs to pay a price for this. And it can't just be the little fish. I think, you know, the defense that Shinseki was oblivious to this isn't really a defense, because this is his job, you know, to run the organization. You can't be Mr. Magoo and claim that you had no idea any of this stuff was going on around you. It's just terrible leadership there. So if Shinseki's on the way out, it's great. I'd love to see the president fire him and not just let him resign. Also, something to kind of keep an eye on in the coming days, if Shinseki steps down and says, I didn't want to be a distraction, he's going to deserve every last bit of criticism that gets, because the issue is not that Shinseki is a distraction. The issue is that he's failed.
Absolutely.
And he should not be allowed to spin this as, oh, I'm becoming a media controversy. No, what the VA did is the media controversy, and it deserves all the attention it's getting.
So does this then portend as an extension of the good martini, thinking of it as one of the olives in the good martini? Does this then set up an incredibly dramatic moment at a confirmation hearing with whoever the next nominee, the next victim is who takes that job? Or can we expect fireworks as the Democrats look to take out their pound of flesh and look responsible heading into the midterms?
Probably. I think you'll also hear a lot of serious questions about whether, like, just how far reaching could a VA reform go? And is it time to start thinking about giving veterans a voucher they can use for care at any private hospital? That's what they're recommending for these 1,700 folks. So if it's good enough for these 1,700 folks who are abused by the system and ignored by the system, why isn't it good enough for every veteran? And in that light, do we really need the VA to continue to work in the structure it already has? Because it's pretty clearly failed on that level. Obviously, this is not an administration that really wants to privatize anything or reduce the size and scope of the government, but a failure on this scale may require something like that. So it'll be interesting to see what the next nominee thinks on these types of topics.
And just for what it's worth, it might help to have somebody take the job who knows something about a healthcare system, you know, maybe some medical. It's crazy, I know. All right, well, that's the good martini, and that's something we're going to be watching very closely over the coming days and maybe weeks ahead. Here comes a very bad martini, sort of in the same category, sort of in the same class as that good martini. The VA awarding prize money for scheduling apps? What's going on here, Jim?
Yeah, this is, I think, a bitterly ironic martini. Gerald Beer over at the Weekly Standard notes that in October 2013, not that long ago, right as the healthcare.gov debacle was continuing, The VA was awarding $3 million in prizes to three participants in the agency's medical appointment scheduling contest.
Oh, no.
Now, I don't know about you, Brett. I kind of figured medical appointment scheduling. I guess the idea of the contest is if you get an appointment, you've won the contest. We laugh because otherwise we would cry. But no, they had announced this in 2012, and I guess they wanted a more modern and flexible scheduling system. So they set it up, and they, you know, MedRed got the award for this. I guess the old, you know, medical scheduling system was 25 years old. And so they gave it to this group, and they got, you know, $1.8 million for the first prize winner. There were two other applications that got a $705,000 in award, and a third place winner got $512,000. So $3 million. It's not surprising that as the VA scandal has worsened, you've seen, you know, usually Democrats and folks on the left say, well, this shows that the VA is underfunded, and that's just horse pucky.
Yep.
I could have used another word there to point out that, no, the VA spending has increased dramatically over the last 5 years. And the fact that they've got $3 million to toss around for prizes for new scheduling systems kind of indicates this. You know, all the money in the world doesn't matter if people aren't being honest about the problems they're trying to solve. And if they're falsifying their records and if they're not being honest about how severe the backlogs are, you're not going to improve anything. And, you know, ironically, one of the other, you know, aspects of this scandal was that, you know, VA administrators got cash bonuses for reducing their backlogs. So what they did was they submitted records that indicated the backlogs were getting better, when in fact they're getting worse. So the issue is not that the VA has, you know, too little money. In fact, you look at this $3 million in prizes for scheduling apps and these bonuses they're tossing around to some of the same people who are accused of falsifying records. Maybe the VA's got too much money. Certainly it's not spending the money that it has in a wise or effective manner. And I think we can safely say this is money that's getting, you know, tossed down the flush down the toilet, because these new scheduling packages didn't do anything for these vets of these facilities who were denied care.
Absolutely. And I find myself wondering when we'll see the awards going out for the healthcare website design apps that no doubt will be awarded at some point for the great job with Obamacare. I mean, this is insanity, and we'll certainly be monitoring that. I know you'll be monitoring that, and we'll look for that to be raised during the confirmation hearings of a potential future VA boss. Well, here comes a very weird martini, very crazy martini, Jim Garrity. And not made with gin, not made with vodka. It's made with breast milk. That's right. This is a breast milk martini. Apparently, there's a subculture of people that live out there in this country. They're men who drink breast milk to stay physically fit. Jim Garrity, I got kids. I'm alarmed.
Yeah, you'd call this to my attention, Brett, and because I must emphasize that though I'm trying to be healthy, I don't keep up to speed on every last little development in this. Apparently, there are some guys who are really interested in health who've decided that breast milk is their drink of choice for its health and healing properties and muscle building and all that sort of thing. No doubt, breast milk is good for babies.
Sure.
You know, why, you know, I'm not even going to ask where they're getting these things.
Oh, whether
there's some sort of like black market for pregnant women who are lactating and for women who've given birth and those sorts of things. I'm not clear what's wrong with good old fashioned 1% or 2%, you know, putting half and half in my coffee or something like that. There does reach a point where the possibility of a health benefit comes in a form that is either just too embarrassing or too weird or too off-putting to take. I remember one of the sci-fi movies, there was some guy who needed to take a medicine, and he did so by injecting it in his eyeball. And I remember thinking, man, you know, if that's the way I need to take the medicine, I'll try the disease. So, so those guys who are enjoying the breast milk cocktails that are apparently giving them fantastic health benefits, good for them. Tell you what, Brett, you can have my martini for this one. I'm going to shut off
today. The operative phrase, by the way, this coming from New York Magazine, a section called The Cut by Chavi Lieber, talking about Anthony in Queens. And your money line from the article is Anthony in Queens buys his breast milk online for $2.50 an ounce. What could possibly go wrong, Jim Garrity? I'm buying human products.
Yeah, check that out. Some people are tough, you know, they crack down on soft cheeses, but human breast milk, that's hunky dory. So,
all right, I'm not only going to dump this out, I'm going to smash the glass and hide it from Anthony, who may be chasing us around the block. Well,
no,
I think that is
here. We don't talk about these sorts of topics. But anyway, thank you, Brett, for diversifying our topic range today.
I'm I'm doing my bit from the West Coast. What can I tell you? All right. So just to recap very quickly, we've got the Good Martini. Shinseki may be out by the time somebody hears this, may already be down the block and out the door. You've got the Very Bad Martini, which is the awards going out, 3 million in awards coming from the VA for brand new scheduling apps for veterans who need medical attention. And then, of course, the crazy, weird, bizarre martini would be the men who buy breast milk from other people to stay physically fit. I'm just profoundly disturbed and I need a shower. Jim Garrity, thanks so much for letting me sit in this week for Greg Corumbus, who will be back on Monday, and you guys will be back at it with the Three Martini Lunch. Thanks for having me, man.
Always enjoy it, Brett. Thanks very much for joining us.
Always a lot of fun. That's Jim Garrity from National Review. I'm Brett Winterbull for Greg Corumbus. It's the Three Martini Lunch. We'll talk to you next time.